If y'all are in Proverbs chapter 14, let's pick it up with verse 10, where we left off. It says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." So what you have is, in that verse, is only you know what you're going through. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. The thing is that you run into a thing where only you know, whenever you go through something, how bitter you are toward a thing. Only you know what you're going through. And so what happens is that Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Now, the trouble with it is this. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 19, and we'll look at this thing for a minute. Welcome, good to see you. So 2 Kings chapter number 19, what happens is that you go through things and you want so bad for somebody else to understand exactly what you're going through. You want somebody else to feel exactly how you feel in that situation. But that Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. And so what happens is other people are not going to gain the same understanding. There's other people have been through some of the same thing, but everybody takes it a different way. I've given y'all the illustration several times probably that there could be an accident out here and several of us witness an accident. Everybody in this room would react a little different to that accident. I've seen people, something happen that you never thought somebody would cry over, and they cry over it. Well, I've seen some things happen and you think somebody would cry and they don't cry. So what happens is every heart reacts to a thing its own way. So that Bible says the heart knoweth its own bitterness. Now if you turn to 2 Kings 19, and I'm gonna show you this verse here about Elijah in verse 10. It says, let's see, I said 2 Kings. That's a scribal error. It should be... I think it's 1 Kings. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. Flip over to 1 Kings. I wrote that down wrong. I make my little old notes in this Bible, and sometimes I write those things down wrong.
1 Kings
19:10. Mm-hmm. All right, it says this. Elijah... He. What happened in this story is he got mad that he didn't get the results he wanted from the message that was given in chapter 18. So he runs from Jezebel. He sits under the juniper tree and has himself a little pity party. And what he does is he starts comparing himself to others. And then verse number 10 says this, and he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." See how eyes in here. He's got eye trouble now. "For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword." Now watch this. "And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." You know what happens? You go through something, and you think you're the only one who's been through that thing. You think you're the only one who's been through it just like you, because that Bible says the heart knoweth its own bitterness. So what you'll find is, like Elijah here, he is sitting under the juniper tree, and he thinks, "I only." All right, well, you look at verse 14 that said, and he said, "I have been very jealous." See, he's repeating it again. "For the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, see, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword." It says, "And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it." Now what happened is, you look over at 18, say he's repeating his case. So he's whining about it. He's complaining. Verse 18, "Yet," this is what the Lord says, "yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed on the Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him." You know what? A lot of times we think that there's nobody else who's experienced something like we have, and or been through the same thing we have. And he says, "Look, I got 7,000 there." We think we're the only one. So what happens is you may take it a different way, but there's other people who've been through those things. And so what happens is only the heart knows exactly how you're taking it. And you'll look in, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 is a good thing that kind of goes along with that. Let's see here, while you're turning there, I'm going to correct this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, But such as is common to man. You know what man will say? No, nobody ever. I was tempted in such a way that nobody could. Man, that thing just got me in such a way. No, he says it's common to man. He said it's common to man. He said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above. I got that underlined in my Bible. Above that you're able. You know what he said? He said, look, I'm not going to make it to where you couldn't get out of it. The Lord always gives us a way out. You know, we say, well, there was no way out. The Lord says, I make it every time I've made where there's a way out. He says this. He says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able, see, to bear it. So he always gives us a way out. And thank God he does, because, man, if he didn't, you think about the stuff we'd get into if we didn't have a choice. I mean, man, it'd be a mess. So the heart knows. Now here's another one while you're in that neighborhood. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The heart knowing its own bitterness. We go through things that only we can understand, but we have to remember that there are others who's gone through similar things. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this in verse 9. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, the same ones, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So there's other folks who's went through the same things we have. And a lot of times God will put somebody in your path who's went through those same things so you can help one another along. And so a lot of times we wonder why we went through something. Everything we go through is for a reason. And God is able to make, no matter how bad something may be, He's able to make all things work together for good. That's the thing that's hard to understand. It's hard to understand how in the world we could go through something so bad, or you could have something happen to you, and God's still able to work that thing out to good. I go back to Apostle Paul all the time. That man was killing Christians. He was going out to kill more. He's going out here, had letters, and he's going to go out here and kill them. And man, the Lord knocks him down, and the Lord uses him in such a mighty way. He writes most of the New Testament, 13 epistles. And so what happens is no matter what you're going through, God is able to, He understands that thing. And there's other folks going through it, and we have to remember that because God's able to use it. Look at another one here. You got to remember this. Let's look at this one more example. I got so many of them, I just have to give you a few of them. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 said, the heart knoweth its own bitterness. And you will go through bitter times in your heart. And so we, a lot of times only we know exactly how we're taking that thing. But it's good to remember this thing. Thank the Lord we got the Bible to see these examples. You take some of these people in this Old Testament, they didn't have near the Bible we have. You take those Old Testament saints, man, the ones who had the Torah, which most of them didn't have access to it. The ones who, hey, I tell you, it ain't just a whole lot of comfort in there. It's some rough stuff in there, man. And so thank the Lord, we got the Psalms here, and we got this story. We got all these good stories in the Bible and things like this to go by. It says this in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So she goes down through here, and you find out in that story that in one place she's down here praying. Verse 13, her mouth's moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk. Eli didn't know what she was going through. And the thing is, a lot of times you'll be going through something, and you're trying to get that thing across, and nobody can understand it exactly the way you do, because your heart knows your own bitterness. Even though somebody else went through something similar, only you know the exact way. Now the thing is, though, you have to remember this. I want to show you this one more example just to have a bunch of them. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4. Because it's a bunch of examples of this. While you're turning over, I'll tell you what happened. There was a lady who met Elisha, and she wanted a son. So Elijah prayed for and everything, and so she had the boy. When the boy got a hold, he was out in the field working, and he said, my head, and he said the lad carry him to his mother. So the man, here he is, a young man, he got sick, evidently really bad, no telling what it was, and so she goes up to Elisha, and so you look up to this verse right here, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 27, she comes up there to him and says, "And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me.'" Now, he didn't know exactly what was going on with her. She's going through a bad situation. She's going through something awful. And only the Lord knew what she was going through. But other men around didn't know exactly how she was taking it. So what you'll find out is, if you want to find a verse that'll go along with that real good, Hebrews 4 be the last one we turn in this section here. Hebrews 4, this right here is the blessing. You got to remember something. The reason why you can get through things, no matter how bad things get, no matter how bad in your mind things get, because that's where the devil messes with you here. And he messes with your mind so much, you have to remember that no matter how bad or how bitter your soul is, you've got this right here. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 14. It says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now you think about the Lord. The Lord temporarily set aside aspects of godly aspects, temporarily set them things aside. You think about God, all-knowing, almighty God, setting aside things. Like somebody asked him, they said, "Well, when will the end of the world be?" And the Lord said, Jesus said, "I don't know, it's just for the Father right now." In his earthly self, he denied himself the privilege of knowing that thing. Now you imagine God himself denying himself of things. We talk about denying ourselves. Now, we're just human, but you think about God Almighty denying himself anything. He don't have to deny himself nothing if he didn't want to. And he comes down here and he's tempted in all the points like as we are. One man said, he asked a preacher one time, he said, "How can the Lord understand what I'm going through? He had never made a car note. He had never had trouble making a car note." And what it is, what you find out is this. The Lord was tempted in all points like as we are. There's only three things the Lord or the devil uses to tempt all mankind. And he just uses them in different areas. And you find those things in the temptation. He was tempted, the lust of pride, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. He uses those three things on every single person in a different way, shape, form, or fashion. And Jesus went through all those things. And not only that, he's on the inside of you if you're saved. Now, it's one thing if somebody's on the outside looking in. We can't figure that out. But if somebody was on the inside of you and knew exactly what you was thinking and knew exactly what happened to you, how it happened, he's able to understand it like nobody else is. So if the heart knows his own bitterness, guess what? The Lord's on the inside of you and he knows exactly what's going on. That's why, friends, that's why it's one thing to take it to people. But I can tell you this, you can't help anybody who won't go to God. You can say, "Well, I'll try to help them. Look, if they won't go to God, if they won't go to God for their help, if you try to help, you don't do nothing but hurt them. So what you have to do is you have to go to God first. And then after you went to God, then other folks can help you, because then that way you've got God using people to help you. Look, you can hurt somebody. So what happens is if they're not yielded to God, you can get yourself in a mess. So God is the one that knows the bitterness. God knows what's going on, and God knows who to lead you to and the right way to help you. And so you find that in there. And back to the Proverbs, it says, "And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy." So what happens is somebody don't know you. They don't know your bitterness, and they don't know your joy. Why? Because some people can put on a show and look like they're joyful and really not be joyful. So you got that. Verse 11 says, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish." Well, you know that's a prophecy, because the wicked's in the White House right now. And so that house is not overthrown yet. So what you have is one of these days you're going to have a time there when the wicked really is, his house is going to be overthrown. The Bible says that Jesus is stronger than the strong man. He's going to come in and bind him. And buddy, one of these days he'll come in and put him in the bottomless pit, and me and Brother Allen gonna watch it. He done told me that. And man, that's gonna be a good while. One of these days the house of wicked be overthrown, man. And so you got that, and it says, "But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish." Now, I'm not gonna go over that, but if y'all wanna look that up, in Acts 15:16, that tabernacle is gonna be rebuilt. The tabernacle of David will be rebuilt in the future. The Lord will be ruling and reigning here on earth, and you know what? That tabernacle will be rebuilt, and that thing will flourish. And so you got that thing's going to literally come to pass. Verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now that verse right there is one of the most important verses in all the Bible outside of salvation. Why? Because that helps us. Why? Because you find out that the man has got his ideas, and they run contrary to the Bible. And the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right. It just seems right. Now think about this. It seems right in a man's logic. It seems right to man to be able to do a whole bunch of good works and go to heaven. That's what seems right in a man's view. That's why most of the world believes, hey, if my good outweighs my bad, man, I'll just go to heaven. Now that seems right unto a man, but the end, guess what? It's the ways of death. Some folks, it seems right to them to be able to do something for God. And Jesus said, "I went to the cross, it's finished." And so it seems right to a man for his ideas to be the way, but God says, no, that may seem right to you, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Now I'll tell you what else, that God works in totally different ways than we do. I'll tell you what, turn to Romans. Turn to Romans 5. I think it's going to be in 5. Now watch this. Now, yeah, Romans chapter number 5. Let me show you something here. Show you that God's thoughts are so much different than our thoughts. If you look over in Romans 5, it says this in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now watch verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I'm going to tell you something. That thing don't seem right. Who would think? Now from the saved perspective, we understand that fine. But you think in your mind, who in their right mind would think that no matter how bad you are, no matter how bad you've been, anything else, see, that don't make sense to religionists. That somebody is low down and sinners like myself. And Paul said, of sinners, he said, I'm chief. And you get somebody low down as a maggot worm. And Jesus said, well, he said, I died for you. That just, see, the people who are in religion can't figure that out. They can't figure that out. And friends, that's what you've got today. Why? Because thank God he don't think like we do. Why? I tell you what, if God thought like we do, my dog would go to heaven. I'd stay out. And I'm telling you, that's the honest truth about the thing, men. Because what happens is, you take the dog, he wags his tail instead of his tongue. And you got folks that talk bad about, and that's one of the biggest things, you got folks that talk bad about old so-and-so, and they got a tongue 12 foot long. And so what you find out is, you have to be real careful about things. Why? God don't think like we think. You know, what happens is you see here that there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. There's a lot of things seem right to me, but they're not right. You know what? The more you get in that Bible, the more you'll realize we don't think like God thinks. Things that we put in a level of importance, God does not think is important at all. And you know, people talk about the rights and rights. You see these folks get out here and they always talk about the rights and the rights. Do you know this world does not owe you a thing? This world, if any one of us was gone, the world would keep right on going, right on along. The world don't owe us nothing. Why? That's why we're supposed to do it. We're told, and we're supposed to work, and we're supposed to serve God. Why? Because in this world here, we're supposed to do what's right. Why? Because even folks who do what's right still get done wrong in this world here. The world don't owe us nothing. Folks say, well, you owe me, and owe me, open the window. The world don't owe you nothing. So what happened, it seems right in our eyes, but it's not right. And what happened is, what that verse is telling you this, it seems right to a man, the end there of the way is this. So if you go by what you seem is right all the time, you'll go down a dead-end road all the time. And these folks that go by what they think is right, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. And you see so many folks headed down a dead-end road. Why? Because they go by what seems right. So we have to go by what God says is right. Now watch this. Verse 13 says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So you got these folks, verse 12, going by what they think is right, just like the world's doing today. And you know what's happening? Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful. You take some of these folks out here, And they may be laughing and having a good time at the Super Bowl game and everything else, but you know what? They may look like they're as happy as they can be right there at that thing, and on the inside they got all kind of junk going. It's a sham. It's a show. It's all a facade. Why? Because the thing is, they're going by what it seems right to them. They're not going to be happy. It may look like it, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, but it says in the bottom, the end there of that mirth is heaven. Now, what's mirth? That's just an old way of a noisy, social merriment. You can find that defined right there in your Bible in Jeremiah 7:16-25, those chapters. And what you'll find out is that mirth is heaviness. So you take these folks, and they go out here with this social merriment. Nowadays, folks will get together in crowds of hundreds of thousands, and they'll get out there and spend time away from God. Now look, you got nowadays, I don't know how many of these NASCAR races they hold now, but they hold these races on Sundays and stuff. Well, you know what, man? 100,000 people up here at these races and stuff, and get up there together, and you know what happens to them? It says it's heaviness. It weighs heavy on you. And the thing is, that it leads right to verse 14. Watch this. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now look, there's a good thing about walking toward the Lord. All right, now the backslider in heart. Now you know where backsliding starts in the heart. Now everybody in this room, start with me as a backslider. You know why? Because backslide, all it takes is just a little slip back. Now look, we have to realize that our heart is black. This flesh right here is still just as, my flesh is just as bad as it was before I got Satan, just as bad as anybody. And the only thing is, if the more you stand in that Bible, the more you yield to God, you can restrain it. Because if you let the restraints up, it'd go haywire and do anything it could do. So what happens is, we have to realize it starts in the heart. Now you think about that prodigal son. That boy was gone in his mind. He was making plans to leave before he ever got gone. So what happens with us is, with the Lord, we make a plan in our heart, and we plan that thing out, and then we start sliding toward that goal. And you know what you'll find out? That's why you want to look straight, because if you look straight and keep your eyes straight, that's what you're going to go, which way you're looking. You ever go down the road? I don't know if you ever went down the road and get to seeing something that's maybe over here, and if it's up there, you'll start angling over that way sometimes. I know I do. Maybe y'all don't, but I do. And what happens is, that's why we have to keep our eyes straight on. The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus," because I can tell you, if we don't look up, soon as we start looking down, we'll start going the opposite way. See, he says, "In heart." Now, how can it be filled with his own ways? I think it's Acts chapter number 7. Starting with the heart here, and I'll show you filled with his own ways. It starts in the heart, and Acts chapter number 7, show you here about these starting in the heart here and getting filled with his own ways too. Acts chapter number 7, verse 39. Stephen's preaching this sermon. It's so good, he gets killed at the end of it. That means it's a good sermon right there, buddy. He made enough folks mad, they stoned him. Verse 39 says, he told them, he said, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Now, the thing is, they was in Egypt in their hearts. But they didn't go back. We know they never went back. They didn't go back. They were in Egypt in their heart. You know, the thing is, that's the trouble right there. That on church, there's churches on Sunday that'll be full of folks who are not, they're there, but they're not there. That's the trouble. Why? It starts in the heart. The thing is, we've been studying. I plan on doing a study on the inner man. You go in your Bible and you study the inner man. The Bible says the hidden man of the heart and the heart and the heart over and over and over in the Bible. I think the heart's mentioned around 700 something times. So what happens is, that's why the Bible says guard your heart, guard your heart, guard your heart. Why? Because what happens is it starts on the inside. So you're gone on the inside before it manifests itself out. And so that's the thing you have to constantly be careful of. So they started off in their heart. And I'll give you another one. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, if you will. Now you think about this. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The thing is, I try to tell y'all, and this, especially through this proverb, I don't want my way. I realize my way is the wrong way. Because my mind, I learn myself more and more and more. My way always gets me in trouble. It ain't a time that it hadn't happened yet. Every time I've got my way, the thing I wanted, I got in trouble. So what we have to do is I have to get in here, and even though sometimes you'll get in there, man, and that heart will be breaking, because I know that the Lord's going to tell me to do something that my heart don't want to do. But the spirit, it's a struggle on the inside. And you'll get in there in your spirit to say, you know that's right. And you'll get in there, amen, Lord. And man, what happens is you have to yield to that spirit. Why? Your man spirit, and we'll look at that when we get time. Your man spirit's constantly trying to gain the upper hand. It's all about authority on the inside of you. And so you'll find out that warfare that the Bible talks about is going on. And you know what happens? It says that the backsliding heart be filled with his own ways. So if you in Jeremiah chapter number 6, look at what's their own ways. Verse 19, he says this, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil. So if anybody knows what this means, if you want to know what it means when the Lord says, I'll bring evil, this is what it means, upon this people. What is it? Even the fruit of their thoughts. See, he didn't do it. He just allows them to, you know what the scary thing is? I know that the devil is not my worst enemy. I am. If that thing ever sinks in, why? Because the Lord don't have to turn the devil on you. And all the Lord's got to do is let you have your way. And you know what'll happen? If we get it, buddy, it'll be trouble. And you know what? You know when I've gotten my worst, when I got what I wanted, and buddy, when I got my wanted, this said this right here. It says the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. So you know what we'll find out? When we reject his counsel, he just lets us have our way. Why? Because he's not going to overrule your free will. You'll find out something about the Lord. He's not going to make you do right. And the devil can't make you do bad. No. We choose it. Now, you know what the devil does? The devil's over here. He's saying, look, over here, look, come my way. And the Lord stands over here and the Lord says, if you want the right way, here it is. And the devil's up there jumping up and down and doing everything trying to get you to come his way. And what happens is the Lord says, look, if you want the straight and narrow, there it is. And you can have it. But the thing is, we go down and we have our thoughts get off. That's why that Bible tells you, watch your thoughts, guard your thoughts, get around God's thoughts. Why? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways and our ways. The heavens higher than the earth. So his thoughts and our thoughts, and his ways and our ways. So it keeps on going like that. So we don't want our own way. Because it says this, back in Proverbs said, a good man should be satisfied from himself. Now look, I know a lot of folks think, they read that verse and they think, well, from himself, well, he's going to have good things from himself. Look, I don't get nothing from myself. I get satisfied from me. That means away from me.
The thing is, your self, in this selfie generation, self will drag you down. So what happens is whenever you get away from yourself and you get toward Him more, you get His ways and not the fruit of your thoughts. So a good man, because the Bible says there's none good no way. So what you find out is, in our setting, in the New Testament setting, what you'll find out is, we need to get around the good man. Jesus said there's none good, no, not one but God. And so God's good. We want His ways. So we get away. The more we get away from our selfish thoughts, and we get our thoughts off ourselves and get them on Jesus, Jesus said, now you're going to get some good thoughts. And so my thoughts always get mixed up. And I get mixed up in my mind when I start trying to put self in there. How can self get glory? How can self get help out of that? And what happens is when you start putting the focus on others and the Lord and the Lord will say, now we're talking. And you get satisfied from yourself. And he goes on to say this. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well into his going. Now look here. I won't go to it because I can quote it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It's simple. It just says, prove all things. Prove all things. That Bible said, look well and you're going. You know what we got to do? Plan ahead. The trouble is with us and people in general is that people nowadays do not plan. There's no planning. You got to plan what you're going to say in a situation before you ever get to it. You think about Daniel. Daniel, here he goes down in one of the most sinful places. He's going into Babylon. He was captured. And before he ever got down in there, he purposed in his heart. He said, look, before I get down there, I'm preparing my heart right now that I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. What's meat's flesh? So you know what we have to do? We have to start preparing ourselves. Look, when I get around old so-and-so, I'm not going to yield to that. When I get around old so-and-so, and when I go over here, I'm not going to do that. When I go over, why? You have to prepare early. Why? Because if not, you're caught off guard. So what you have to do is you have to say, Lord, help me now to prove all things, and Lord, help me to look well into my going. That way I know, uh-oh, I can see that up ahead. I'm not going there. And so I know just as well as anybody, not preparing before you get to a place. You know what gets me about myself or any this whole world, really? Before people buy a car, they'll go online and check that thing out, make sure that's the right car. Before people get a computer, what's the best computer to get? And before people buy or get a job, they'll look into that job and anything else. But you know, we think about it. How am I going to serve the Lord tomorrow? We don't look well into our going enough. Now, if I'm going to do this tomorrow, I wonder how I can look well into this thing. I wonder how I'll be a good witness in this situation. Lord, how am I going to serve you in this situation and turn down the evil thing? And that's the thing, is starting to look well into our future. Because I tell you, planning ahead makes a big... If something's said, what am I going to say? I tell you one thing I do. Not to say that this is the thing you got to do. But sometimes if I don't have a whole lot of time to read, I've got my Bible marked up. Sometimes I'll think of something, I'll say, now, what if this certain situation here happened? What would be a good verse for that? And I'll try to flip over that thing. I'll try to flip over something and have that, because that's your ammunition. Really, if you think about it, when the Lord defeated the devil, He showed us how to whip him. The only way is by the sword of the Spirit. You have to have a Bible verse to help you in that situation. And we think, man, is that crazy? I tell you what, it's crazy enough that there's some those Christian soldiers, you read about them, they keep a New Testament in their pocket. And I've read with them guys have several of those verses, those courage verses, underlined their Bible. They ain't got to memorize so much, but they know right where to turn to them, and they know that thing's going to help their spirit to get through that. And you know what? That's what it takes, because there's an inner man in there that needs that food. And so we look well in our going, prove all things. Verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Man, I've seen that so many times. I've seen it so many times where folks, especially back when we was younger, and you know, you got some of these guys, man, they thought I've been there. Think you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, and you walk down the hill somewhere or something, and the fool rageth on and is confident. You go right down the hill down through here, and the Lord says, hold on now, watch him. watching me getting in trouble.
And so I tell you, he's had to look out for it. But it said, rageth on his confidence. And but the thing is, you're wise whenever you get to where you fear. You know, we're taught not to fear, not to fear, not to fear. And the Bible says fear is healthy. You know what? We sing Amazing Grace, and we sing that song. If you ever thought about this stanza, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. You know, you think about that. You think about how many times we could have died, something awful could have happened to us, and how many folks have told you testimonies where they could have went to hell, could have died in the lost state and everything else, and God had grace and God had mercy. Now I'll keep them alive just a little bit longer. Grace teaches your heart to fear God any moment He wants to. He could take us. Why? The Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And man, if He wants to, He can kill and make alive. And so it ought to cause us to fear and say, Lord, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. And it'll help you. And the Bible says this, verse 17. I got this underlined, double underlined, and circled in my Bible. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. That's a thing that man, we need that, and I need that. A man of wicked devices is hated, so that's soon angry. That's something there, man. If the devil can get us mad, he's got us. Because I'll tell you this, and I speak from experience on this. We always make mistakes when we're mad. You can make your biggest mistakes when you're mad. And so he's saying, look, don't be foolish. Why? Because if the Bible says if you a man that don't rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls, anything can just come right on in there. So what he's trying to tell us, look, if you're going to prove your own ways and prove you're going, make sure you don't get angry easy. Because if the devil can get us angry, man, he can do a lot of damage. Why? Because I know I've said this before. I was mad and didn't know what I was saying. You ever said something like that? You ever get mad and say, well, what happens is the devil wants to make you mad and get you aggravated over the thing. Why? Because he knows he can get you to mess up. And once it's done, it's done. You can't unsay them angry words. Why? You can say, well, I didn't mean them. And really, you know what? I've said things I did not mean it at all. But got mad and said it, and guess what? You can't unsay it. And so what happens is the devil knows, and he said, man, he that's soon angry dealeth foolishly. Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And that's exactly what the simple... It's one thing to be born and be simple. But to stay simple-minded is not good if you know how to read and you got a Bible in front of you. We don't have to stay simple. The thing is, do you know the devil wants to dumb people down? He dumbs this world down. Why? Sitting there watching that idiot box like this 4 and 6 hours a day and just going, absorbing that news media, absorbing that news media, absorbing that news media. And the devil says, man, I got a whole bunch of program monkeys now. And what happened is he just the simple, and man, guess what happened? They just folly, just a fool goeth right on into his own folly. And what happens is, though, you see that verse that says, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. You know what? Knowledge of godly things is like a crown. That's a crown, man. Why? Because that's stuff that'll never go away. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words shall never pass away. So you think about it. You get more knowledge of godly things and you're able to help more people. And the Lord says, it's like having a crown on your head. You walk around and say, well, about that crown? Well, I don't see no crown. Well, it's there. You know, I mean, the thing is, man, get knowledge while you can of godly things. Because I can tell you, there's times when you don't have time to study when you wish you could. So any time that you get, it's good to get in there and gain as much as you can, because some days you don't have as much time. And we'll go over one more. We'll probably have to quit. Verse 19, the evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Now, here's a good example of that evil bowing before the good. Joseph, back in the Old Testament, his brethren, he comes up. Now, he's a young man. They should have thought about it. But anyway, it's just how brothers do, you know. He comes up there and he said, I had a dream, all y'all bowing down before me. And man, you mad at this brother? Here comes, what's this dreamer talking about up here? And they get mad at him. And so anyway, they get him in a cave and sell him off and everything else. He goes into Egypt. And guess what happens? They get up there to him. And they get up there, they realize he's right-hand to Pharaoh, and they had to bow down, man. And don't you know, man, don't you know? And you know what? He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You think one of these days, the Bible said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ the Lord, the glory of God the Father. You take some of these hard-hearted rascals. You take Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius and the Dalai Lama and the Pope. And you take all them hard-hearted rascals and they get up there and the Lord says, Muhammad, bow down, buddy. And he has to bow. He had to bow. And you imagine the devil, man, the thought of that thing right there. You know, if the Lord wanted to, he could cut the devil's knees right out from under if he wanted to, but he's going to have to bow. Yes, sir. Yeah, he had to bow. All knees. The Bible said all knees will bow. And so you've got that thing there. Instead, it said the evil bow before the good. So I'm not good. So that's a prophecy. The Lord one of these days, the evil bow before him, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. So you think about at the gates. You think about Lazarus was laying at the gate of that rich man there. And now guess what? One of these days, the wicked will be there at the gates of the righteous. And there's Lazarus. The tables are turned. Why, he that's last to be first, and he that's first to be last. So you take this world right now, they don't like the Christians. But one of these days, brother, they'll be at the tables will be turned, and they'll be at the gates of the righteous. And we'll pick up with verse 20, because that's a good one to get into here in a little bit next week.